Gabbert steps back into the shotgun with Parmalee and takes the waist-high delivery. Plants, turns, throws. He's got Justin Blackmon. Touchdown, Jacksonville. The first of his NFL career.
Welcome to the Mike Mularkey Show on the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network. Join Jaguars head coach Mike Mularkey and the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, for the latest news and information on your Jacksonville Jaguars.
Straight from the head coach. Straight from the head coach.
The Mike Mularkey Show is brought to you by Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, Wells Fargo, American Express, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome inside Jaguars Central for the Mike Mularkey Show. I'm Brian Sexton, joined by head coach Mike Mularkey. And this quick programming note, Jeff Lagerman and CBS 47 at 7 o'clock, Jaguars All Access. Tonight's special guest at the midpoint of the season is Jaguars owner Shad Khan. So listen to the coach and then hear from the owner over the next 90 minutes. 7 o'clock with Jeff Lagerman. Coach, good evening.
Good evening.
I know, I always ask you, how are you? And I know that's not an easy question because you got a short week and you're coming off of a difficult day yesterday. Let's go. We're sitting in the midpoint of the season right now.
Right.
And, you know, you and I talked off the air last week about the things that we had seen in Green Bay. And I thought as we kicked off yesterday, we would see some of those things. I know you did also.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. I think our players, our fans, certainly the staff thought, you know, really the last two games we were kind of heading in a direction that looked good. And, you know, for some reason or another, I wish I had the answers to the home issue, because I know our fans are, first of all, they're great, but I know their disappointment and they're angry, and I want them to know that so are the players and coaches, that we've been disappointing. I don't want them to think we're not trying to do the best. I know the players are out there. I told them that tonight. They are out there doing the best they can. But we are at the midway point, and we're really at halftime, and we're behind. And how do we come from behind at the halfway point like we have in the game we won this year? Had to come back from two scores down and win. And, you know, it'll show a lot about our character as coaches, players, and people here in the next 8 weeks.
You know, we're talking about a team here, but for you personally, is this the most difficult stretch you had as a coach?
I'd say yes. I would, because we've been so close here and there, and then things have just kind of not gone, especially like even yesterday, even on the field in pregame, I said, boy, there's a good energy with our players. Yeah. I mean, I felt very good. Our team felt very good. The night before meeting, the Saturday night meeting was very positive. The message was good. It was very receptive, and I just felt good about going into that game. And, you know, it just – we got to find a way to write this thing and go in the right direction.
You know, I got a ton of tweets today, Coach, and when it goes bad like that, obviously the first thing off a lot of fingertips on a keyboard is negative. And I know you were questioned by a reporter about effort.
Right.
So let's deal with that right away, because I don't see a lack of effort, and I know how much goes into it. I want to tell people, you can't see through a television lens and you can't see through your binoculars what someone is thinking and what someone is feeling.
Right. Effort is my number one priority with this football team, with players. And they know that from the very first day they met me. I said, look, we'll get along great, but if you really want to see my jugular and me have a problem and get to a point that's not going to be very nice, that is if you don't play with great effort and you're not a physical player. Those are two things you're in complete control over, that nothing your opponent can do or say can take those two things away from you. So lack of effort, first of all, will get you out of this building as fast as you can blink. And they know that. And they've known that from day one.
And you haven't seen it?
No, I did not see that. I'll see if I see it on the field, you'll see it. I mean, you'll see how I'll react. It's not tolerated by me, the staff, and teammates. Just not tolerated. So when I was asked, it did tick me off, because that's one thing that we have been doing. It just it's the other things, the fundamentals, techniques, the real basic things like blocking, tackling, throwing, catching, that we're not doing very well. But the effort has been there, and that will always be there as long as I'm the head coach here.
Did you see trouble on the defensive line yesterday against the Lions? Because they got four rushing touchdowns, which is unusual for them, and it appeared that the offensive line of the Lions had a really good day.
They did some good things. You know, they had a big tackle playing tight end, you know, with their first-round pick.
Riley Reif.
They did some good things. We were not as fundamentally sound as we've been in weeks past. And our tackling, you know, the one thing we struggled early in the season was with tackling. And I thought we had that addressed, and that was one thing that looked like we lost. You know, we took a step backwards.
When you look at that football team, again, pass-oriented most of the time, Calvin Johnson had a big day, but you said on the show last week he would get his catches.
He's difficult to defend. I don't care if you're healthy, not healthy, an all-pro corner. He's a tough guy to defend. I mean, that's the number two offense in the National Football League for a reason. They score a lot of points, and they move the ball very efficiently. They've got some key players on there that help them move, and that offensive line has a lot to do with it. So, and they executed very well yesterday, but you know, we couldn't do better in some of the little things we were doing, and that for sure the tackling was part of it.
When you get a matchup with Calvin Johnson against anyone one-on-one, that's not fair. I mean, that guy's so big and so strong, and he can body off and keep guys from getting to him. Does it matter? I mean, you said he's going to get his catches. Does it matter the type of defense you play? Should Chris Brzezinski have been closer to the line of scrimmage?
No, I mean, we had defenses in there that were going to try to take the big play away from him.
Okay.
And, you know, the one thing we did against Green Bay, we kept everything in front of us. We didn't do that yesterday. We did not. And he got by us on an offsides call. They threw one over our head.
I remember that one down the goal line.
And that's just an adjustment that most teams have. If they know they've got a free play, the receivers just run go routes, and they take a shot to see if they can hit a big play. They already got 5 yards. Why not try something down the field? And it worked out perfect for him. Made a great throw, made a great catch. But those are the things we talk about, we practice. You know, and it's one of our musts. Don't let anything over the top. And we tried it. We had a couple guys on him, but he did some things. You know, there were some great throws to him, but he's just a hard guy to take away from their offense.
So the difference between holding the Packers to a season-low 238 yards and Aaron Rodgers to a season-low 186 yards, and yesterday was what, Coach, if you could boil it down to one thing? I mean, what didn't happen that did in Green Bay that gave them that shot?
As much pressure, we were getting more pressure in Green Bay.
Okay.
I have a lot of respect for that O-line, too, for Detroit. They protect well. I mean, that's what they do for their bread and butter is throw the football. That's why he's in the gun. I think running is a, you know, it's just trying to keep us somewhat of balance to keep us on our toes. But, you know, that's the one thing I thought we could have done a better job. When I thought we did early was stop the run. But, you know, we were on the field way too long. You really should complement each other offensively and defensively. Yeah. And when you have all these three and outs offensively, it keeps the defense out there. And you get worn down. You have no –
You're on the field 22 minutes in the first half.
That's hard to hold up for any defense.
All right. We'll talk about the offense when we return to the Mike Mularkey Show. And, folks, you could be driving a brand-new Kia Optima by registering to win Conn's Kia. Stop by Southside Kia or Kia of Orange Park for your chance to win. Back after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to the Mike Mularkey Show. And, folks, as we get towards the holiday season and you're looking for department store style and discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. There are 6 locations in Jacksonville, and Stein Mart offers you more fashion and less price. To the quarterback, Coach, because that's what everyone wants to talk about. Came off a strong performance in Green Bay in that loss. How did you grade him yesterday?
Probably a slow start. Obviously a slow start with the – didn't have a lot of plays in the first half. We had you know, multiple three and outs and missed some throws. I thought it got better in the second half. We moved the ball, we converted third downs, we scored some touchdowns. We had chances to score more, but 2 turnovers were costly, especially one down in their end of the red zone.
The throw to Justin Blackmon?
That one was you know, a throw he probably won't throw that again. Right. He knows he doesn't want to throw a post into cover 2, and you know, that was unfortunate because, you know, it's just a learning lesson. I keep saying that, but I don't foresee him doing that again. But he recognizes those things as soon as he comes over the sideline. Because I can't believe I just did that. You know,
does he have to play his way to consistency? I mean, is that part of it?
I think so. I think he does. I think I can't tell you how important every single play is so critical to his development. There's something different on every play that he can learn from. Coverages, routes, you know, the blitzes, who's, you know, how they're trying to scheme, how they're trying to disguise. There's something, and there's a lot on quarterbacks' plates. That's why, you know, that's you basically live and die with that position, because they have a lot to, you know, to have to work with.
You know, you were always hesitant to make comparisons between the quarterback that you've coached the last few years in Matt Ryan and Blaine. I mean, even when I go certain directions, it's not an area you want to go, and I understand why. Everyone wants to look at some of these quarterbacks who are playing, these young guys today, and say, how come Blaine isn't playing at that level? Andrew Luck, the guy who's coming in here Thursday, is a different quarterback than Blaine.
They're all different. I mean, they're all it's hard to compare them. Some can, and there's a lot of positions like this. Some guys can come right in. Calvin Johnson can come right in and be an immediate impact day one. Others are working their way, and the Justin Blackmans, they are slowly but surely getting better and better and better at the position. And I think you're seeing more production. Obviously, there's things he can do better. But, you know, that's quarterbacks as well. I mean, look at Aaron Rodgers. Didn't play, sat behind Brett Favre for all those years, and look, he's a top quarterback now.
05, 06, 07 didn't play at all. 08 took him to 6-10, and then in 09, his fifth year in the league, all of a sudden they were blossoming. I guess where I'm going with this is that he played so well, and I shouldn't say so well. He played well in Green Bay. I thought he played so well. And then yesterday, early on, there was that struggle, and that's why I ask about that, you know, that consistency
right.
level, and how do you...
That's so important.
Besides the plays, Coach, how do you get a quarterback mentally ready to play consistent?
Well, first of all, you got to get him to a Green Bay game to show what he's capable of doing.
Okay.
And he's had just like yesterday, the second half was better than the first half.
Right.
And really, it's been like our team. We just haven't put them together all at once, and that's why we're where we're at right now. But that's just something that's a growth thing we have to do with Blaine, that you know, unfortunately, you're gonna have to take a little bit of the lumps here and there with that growth process, but you know, he is still on an incline.
And how is he mentally this morning?
Yesterday he was on the sideline just talking to him about some of the things, the adjustments, and you know, this read over that read. He wants to learn, he wants to do it right. Most of the time he already knows it, what he did before I have to say anything to him, or before Greg Olsen says anything to him. That's important, that he realizes, hey, I made a mistake, and it's not us always having to show him. So he's getting it.
When he threw the touchdown pass at the end of the ball game to Justin Blackmon, I'll admit I was hopeful that that was maybe a breakthrough moment for both of them to establish that relationship and get some things going. Because early on there was that one pass on third down over on the sideline, and it looked like Justin kind of, you know, Olay grabbed it and kind of just never got it and got it in. And he kept thinking, they got to get that. Has to happen. Number one draft pick quarterback, number one draft pick wide receiver.
Right, that's a relationship I think will really flourish. I mean, they're both obviously very young. They're first year working together. You know, time missed even in training camp with Justin out. It's coming along. I think, and Justin's really had good weeks of practice the last 4 weeks. So it's coming along. We've moved him around a little bit, just like they did with Calvin yesterday. There's things you can defend on some of these receivers, but you know, the teams that can move guys and get you out of coverages that you can't, you know,
right.
do what you designed. And that's what happened. That's what we're trying to do with Justin, move him around a little bit.
Don't let me make excuses, but LaRon Robinson was injured, you know, really didn't get up to full speed, is just now getting to work with Blaine. Blackmon obviously is working through it, and we've seen what Cecil is capable of doing. When you look at the number of snaps they've taken together, it doesn't seem like there's nearly enough to be able to develop that rhythm. In fact, I asked John Osher, who watched Peyton Manning and Reggie Wayne work for a couple of years, and I said, how long does that take to get that innate, you know, I know what you're doing? He said, it can take years.
I mean, it's thousands of reps, thousands of, you know, the same route. I mean, because there's hundreds of things that can happen on the same, that's what I was trying to say, with coverages and how corners are playing you with bump, or they're off, or they're going to bail. I mean, there's just so many things that go into every single play. That's why it's every play is so detailed when it's installed and first of all created and then installed. And when a play works, you know, you're going, that's why, you know, we thought it would. And if it doesn't, it's very frustrating for us as coaches as much as it is for fans.
Right.
Because there's a lot of time on each play that's designed and run.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. At Jags Voice, though, the best way to reach us. We'll get your questions through to the coach. We'll take a break, come back with more. And, folks, you need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today. They're a proud sponsor of the Jaguars here on Jaguars Radio. Well, Sonny's gets you ready for game day with two great deals. Game Day Wings, that's 40 wings with a new dry rub or sweet or mild sauce. That's just $19.99. Now here's the tailgate package. It's a feast for 4 to 6. You get a choice of barbecued pork, beef, chicken, or ribs. There's three sidekicks, garlic bread or cornbread, and four soft drinks or fresh brewed iced tea for just $39.99. Takeout only. Sonny's is the first name in barbecue. Brian Sexton back with the head coach. Coach, how much of a concern is it to get that running game started here this week against the Colts? You know, the Jaguars in their history against the Colts have always played well when they've run the ball well. And the last couple of weeks, the running game has just not been to the level. And by the way, whether people know it or not, they think of you as a passing coach because of your time in Pittsburgh and your time with Matt Ryan. But history shows you love to run the ball.
Well, I really like to be balanced, but running the football has always been important. Really do. To establish the pass, to get time of possession. I just think you got to be able to run the football. And, you know, we have struggled as of recently. And we had a good game last time we played the Colts. You know, Maurice really broke out and had a big run, had a 50-yard run. You know, we're constantly trying to do that. We got a good plan going into this game. And it's always our intent to establish the run.
You will not have Maurice Jones-Drew this week, correct? He won't play Thursday night, or you don't know yet?
He will not play.
Okay. Is there any thought as to when he will be ready to return? I mean, does it become a week-to-week thing soon?
I think it's getting to be. I think after this game, this is such a short week, and, you know, to try to get him ready for this one, I think it would be a big mistake.
A little too much.
Yes. So it'll be week-to-week after this.
Rashad Jennings has not been as effective as he was in August. I know you put Jalen Parmalee in there. How can you use a rotation of some different backs, Coach, to be able to create some success in the running game, or do you just need to keep giving it to Rashad?
No, I think we have a good assortment of backs. I think we've missed, obviously, Maurice. We've missed Montel Owens.
Yeah, how could you not?
You're talking about, you know, two Pro Bowl players. You know, Rashad and Parmalee, and we did have Keith Tostin back there as another runner. We had some options to run the ball, but we're trying to get any kind of combination that will get us moving. And you know, we did move it a little better when we put Parmalee in there in the fourth quarter. We were getting 4 and 5 yard gains.
Right.
So whatever we have to do to make that thing go, we will do.
And obviously Detroit, they were huge inside with Corey Williams and Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley. It was going to be tough sledding to get it up there anyway. But I just know what historically what
right.
You've done with play action and how it all works, and
all off the run game.
You got to have that going.
That D line again, that makes that whole defense again. They're I think number nine, maybe better than that defensively, and really starts with that front line, and they're big inside. And I thought, you know, for the most part, just turning it to the protections, our guys did a very good job of blocking for Blaine.
I didn't call Ndamukong Suh's name very often, so they must have done a pretty – I mean, he made some plays at the line of scrimmage or up the field, but I didn't see him in the backfield quite
yeah,
as much.
He just creates a wall in there. You know, you don't hear much about it, but he spills a lot of things to their linebackers. You know, Mike Brewster had a tough duty there yesterday, and I thought he held his own. I think he's really coming along and going to be a good player for a long time.
He's a guy that you think he probably has to get stronger is what I've heard from a lot of people, but that's not
typical. There's a difference in the college level and spending a year in the NFL and being around the weight room and what we do, and again, it's a full-time job now. It's amazing the body, how it'll change. Even after a year, you'll see the physique and everything.
Right,
it's amazing.
No, yeah, you can't see it. But it's hard for a young guy to come in and do that in just, you know, 6-8 months time. Even
it
if they
is.
Get in here in May.
You know, it's hard for these, really the rookies. This is about the conclusion of their season right here. And I had to talk to them last week in practice because I can see some of them that got the lazy eyes, like, what are we are still are going? And there is a thing called the rookie wall, and I told us some of them.
That's not mythology. You've seen it.
No, it's evident, and I've seen it with a couple of our guys. And they can't help it. Their bodies are telling them I should be done, and they got a lot of football still to play. And so that was addressed last week, and hopefully they understand they got to take care of their bodies full time on and off the field, and you know, be prepared better than they ever have been for each week.
Coach got a question from Twitter, and this gentleman wants to know. He said he thought that Blaine did well in a no huddle. Why do you think that might have been? If you agree with that, and is there a plan to do more of that?
Well, yeah, I thought he did well too. What it did was it got us when we had to get into a third down, we got into some third and makeables. He actually ran a couple sneaks for first downs, but I thought he executed it very well. There wasn't a lot of throws down the field. You know, people were asking why in the second half, but a lot of it we were spread out, really with a protection that there's, you know, nobody other than the five down guys. So you got to be careful from throwing the ball down the field, and Blaine put us in some good positions to just dink and dunk and move the football and really get the ball in our guys' hands.
Is that the spread background that he played at Missouri? I mean, is that a college quarterback?
That's an advantage.
Comfortable there?
Sure. It gives him some advantage because that's what he did. So, yeah, we'll experiment with it more, definitely.
All right. We need to take a break here as we've just passed the bottom of the hour. More to come with head coach Mike Mularkey. And, folks, you can get a great deal on a Ford F-150 during Truck Month at your local Southern Ford dealers. Back after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to the Mike Mularkey Show. Brian Sexton along with the head coach. And fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than our friends at Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today or Thursday on your way to the stadium. Thursday. I mean, what is today in your work week? It's Thursday in your work week, isn't it?
Today is Monday and Tuesday.
Oh, it's Monday and Tuesday.
Yes.
Okay.
And then tomorrow is Wednesday and Thursday. And
How do you do it?
Wednesday is Friday and Saturday.
Obviously, you have a plan to do it. You've done it before, and everybody has to do it at some point in time. But as a coach, forget coach of the Jaguars or coach of the Colts, as a coach, this is a tremendous challenge.
It is. I'm sure there's a lot of people that don't realize how much time goes into a normal week, which there's a lot for coaches and players. But for coaches, the time that's put in late nights and early mornings. But these games right here, you got to do some work ahead of time. You really don't want to go. It's really hard to work on them while you're getting ready for the Lions because it does get confusing. You know, you start looking at one team and things start to run together.
It has to.
You got to be careful. I mean, you got to really be careful of that. But we had to do some of that this past week.
That's just coaches, right? That you're not.
That's just coaches.
Players,
right? But I mean, even Saturday, we're looking at some things with the Colts because there's no other time to get prepared. Because when the players are here. Right now, and they're in meetings right now, and we're going to go out and have an hour walkthrough tonight on getting ready for the game on Thursday. And typically, they're home. They'd have tomorrow off. They'd be off their feet. They'd be getting rested. We would be game planning tomorrow on first, second, and third down. We'd have from literally 7 in the morning till about 2 in the morning the next day to get it all done. Well, we had to do that this morning till 3 o'clock this afternoon to get it all done. And
now you're playing an opponent that you played 2 months ago. Does that help?
That helps. It certainly does help, and it helps that we're going to be home because it would be even more difficult to have to travel. But it definitely helps that we are familiar with the Colts. Definitely.
And when you look at your team now, mentally, physically, how do the players transition from Sunday to Thursday?
Well, they got to take care of themselves when they're not around here. I mean, we provide a lot of things. We call it a strength and active recovery. We provide massages and chiropractors and do yoga and do all the things to help them recover. But they got to take care of themselves when they're off the field and not here in the building. What they do with their bodies, what do they drink, what do they eat, how much rest are they getting. And we even talked about rest the whole week last week, knowing we had two games in a short time frame. And it wasn't going to start today. It started actually last week preparing for this Thursday night game.
Do you go home this week? Do you make the trip out of here?
I will tell you this. This is my 19th year coaching, and I have even if I go home for an hour, my wife knows I'm going to be in bed with her when I can be in bed with her.
That's important.
It's important. You know, I probably lose a couple hours of sleep driving, but it's important she knows I'm coming home.
Well, and this week especially, it would seem to lend itself towards grinding through all of that. Short week, coming off a loss, frustration in the building and wanting to get that out, but you've got to maintain balance, don't you?
No question.
Coaches do too.
Yes, they do. And I, you know, even after the game, you know, people were like, "You going right into the Colts?" I said, "No, we need to, you know, really get away from, because games are very draining. I mean, I went to bed about 8 o'clock last night. Yeah. You know, they're physically and emotionally draining. You lay down, I don't sleep very much.
Yeah, right.
That's why my voice sounds like it does. But no, you got to get your rest. You got to take a break and take a little time to yourself with your family. So when you do come back in here, everybody's happy.
You know, we have talked on this show after some losses about the energy that you expect from your team when you get them back on Wednesday. Do you expect to see some energy from them out there tonight, or will you have to push to get a little bit of that? And then do you expect when you get on the practice field tomorrow that they'll have it again?
I expect them to have it again tomorrow. We'll have a normal – tomorrow, really, we're going to have a Wednesday, Thursday type of practice,
right,
which is everything first, second, third, red zone, short yardage, goal line, all into one. And it's got to be fast to execute the way we want to. And typically it's only about an hour and a half on Fridays, 2 days before the game. This one's 2 hours, you know, and this is 2 days after the game. So it's a little stressing, but there's no other way to do it. You can't prepare without doing it this way.
All right. You're listening to the Mike Mularkey Show here on the Jaguars Radio Network. And, folks, the Jaguars Rewards Program is now better than ever. Season ticket owners get all the great premium benefits like Teal Deals and the Gate Gas Redemption Program, but it's now open to all Jaguars fans. Get great discounts, cash back, and register to win a trip to the Super Bowl. Visit Jaguars.com and click on the Jaguars Rewards logo to start earning your rewards today. We're back with the head coach after this on Jaguars Radio. Well, you can join Blaine Gabbert, the captain of the third annual McKenzie's Run. It's a 5K run and walk and a one-mile fun run that Saturday at Everbank Field. This Saturday, support the McKenzie Noel Wilson Foundation. Register as a team for only $15 per person at McKenziesRun.org. Brian Sexton back with Jaguars head coach Mike Mularkey. Coach, you get the Colts this week. That means Freeney and Mathis, although Mathis has been dinged up a little bit, and we didn't see Freeney when we were up there early in September.
Boy, and I didn't miss him.
No, and you wouldn't miss Mathis this week if for some reason he's not able to play.
No, you're talking about
But you're going to get one of them.
Yes, they're two great players, and you got to be aware. You know, Leary, wherever they are, they're a great challenge every time we played them.
How has Freeney adapted? We saw how Mathis adapted to playing, you know, from his hand on the ground, 4-3 end, to a 3-4 outside stand-up linebacker. What can you say about what you've seen from Dwight Freeney?
Every bit of a wrecking crew that he's ever been, because literally they're going to put him to the open end anyhow, so he's going to move from one side or the other wherever the tight end is not, and he can still come off the edge like there's no tomorrow. So he's just a great player.
Is Eugene Monroe still playing at a high enough level to handle him one-on-one?
I think Eugene's having a good year. I really do. You know, there's some things that aren't pretty against Green Bay. I thought he had a challenge with Clay Matthews, but you know, there weren't a lot of big plays by him. I mean,
right,
he had one sack, but you know, you didn't hear his name very much. And I mean, it was a dogfight. I don't know if you watched it.
Yeah, did see some of it.
But you know, I think Eugene's played well against some very tough.
Does he rise to the challenge? Is he one of those guys that when you see Dwight Freeney, you play a better
game? I think he does. I think it is a challenge to him. I think he wants to do good. I think he wants to be respected as a you know, very good tackle in this league, and I just, he's working at it. He really works at it. And then I see him even in our Saturday night meeting. I sit behind them when Bob Rakowski's presenting the offense to those guys. I see him and Cam talking about little technique. So I know he's teaching Cam Bradfield, and Cam's only got 8 starts under his belt over there on the right side. Cam had a tough job last week and handled his own.
Right.
But I see Eugene really becoming a leader and helping young guys.
You know, Jeff Loggeman said to us on our pregame broadcast yesterday that he really thought that Cam was starting to take a step forward. Do you see it that way?
I thought he took one definitely yesterday. The thing I like about him, there's so much thinking going on right now. The one thing he wasn't doing was finishing plays as well as we like him to. And I think a lot of that has just, he's so worried about the little things, the footwork, the hands, where do I need the rush, what's he going to give me this time, you know. And, you know, by the time it gets to the finish of play, he was – but we're brainwashing him, and I'm always in his ear about I won't let him – that's why I'm here. I'm right behind him.
So as the head coach, you see two guys that can be your fixture at tackle. I mean, that's so important with a young quarterback. When you have confidence that those guys are the guys.
Yes. I mean, I think each game for Cam is just another step into being a good tackle.
We're talking about a guy who came last year from Grand Valley State, and no one knew where to put him, and all of a sudden now we're talking about a right tackle.
Right.
You
right.
find guys like that's important for a franchise to find guys like that because you don't have enough draft choices or enough money in free agency to go and buy all of them, so to speak. You got to uncover some, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, those guys are hard to find. Really, in today's NFL, offensive linemen, because of the college schemes, the spread out, it's hard to find the pro style of offensive linemen, and especially tackles that basically are pass protecting their whole college career.
Right.
They have to learn how to run block again. But, you know, you see like the Floridas and the Alabamas trying to get into that pro style, run the ball. And so hopefully that'll develop some young linemen.
What was Bear Bryant's great line about practicing passing? He said, when would I want my offensive linemen to take a step backwards before they take a step forward?
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it makes a whole lot of sense. Sometimes football doesn't seem all that complicated.
It shouldn't be this hard.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's take a break. We've got more to come with the head coach. You can pick up your Denny's Playmaker card at participating Denny's locations and learn how you can win a Mega Jaguars fan experience at the December 23rd home game. No purchase is necessary. We're back after this on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Some people say travel isn't what it used to be. Well, I think travel is what you make it, so I made it better.
The Gold Delta Sky Miles credit card from American Express? Sure, it earns you miles, but what you'll really appreciate is everything it does to make traveling on Delta a little bit easier. Like when you get to the airport, you get a free checked bag on any Delta flight every time you fly. And then when you're at the gate, you get on board sooner with priority boarding, so you can get to your seat, settle in, and do, well, whatever you want. And once you're on your way, you'll even save on drinks, movies, games. You know, the little things that make your flight more relaxing. Call 1-866-524-MX to apply now. You can earn 30,000 bonus miles. With a $0 introductory annual fee for the first year, then it's $95.
Can your card make getting there a little bit easier? My card can.
Jaguars fans, there's nothing like seeing the Jaguars at home. And thanks to NFL Ticket Exchange, powered by Ticketmaster, you can enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to the next home game. Just text Jaguars to 842538. That's right, just text Jaguars to 842538. And good luck. No purchase necessary. You can also enter at Ticketmaster.com/Jaguars. Message and data rates may apply. Please don't text while driving.
Bud Light salutes Jaguars fans and all their superstitions. Like the fans committed to not washing their lucky jerseys. And the fans who sit next to the fans committed to not washing their lucky jerseys. Jaguars fans do whatever it takes. It's only weird if it doesn't work. Bud Light, for all the fans and all they do, here we go.
Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
30,000 jobs, a $2.9 billion annual economic impact on the Northeast Florida region. At the Jacksonville Aviation Authority, they have turned their diversified four-airport system into an economic engine that serves the commercial, industrial, business, and recreational aviation needs of our community. That's going beyond daily. Learn more at flyjacksonville.com. That's flyjacksonville.com.
Your first word probably wasn't something like finance, or savings, or ATM. But whatever that first word was, it opened up a world to you that was built on conversations. It's this exchange of ideas that Wells Fargo puts into practice every day, through listening, guiding, and planning. So when the conversation is about ways to grow your savings or your business, we'll be here to help you find the right answers. Because an open dialogue is what opens doors. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank N.A.
All right, welcome back to the Mike Mularkey Show. Brian Sexton with the head coach. We've got two more segments here. Don't forget, Jeff Lagerman interviews Shad Khan on Jaguars All Access, CBS 47, starting at 7 o'clock. All right, coach, let's talk a little bit about Andrew Luck. He's obviously a guy who is playing pretty well right now. You know, there was some – the thought on him coming out was is that he was a unique quarterback, a guy who played in a pro-style system. His father was obviously a former pro quarterback, a guy with a lot of talent. And he's having a lot of success this season, isn't he?
He really is. I played against his dad way back when I was with Florida in the Peach Bowl. I played against his dad. His dad was a quarterback at West Virginia. But and I thought he was playing well when we played him. And, you know, obviously that was week three. He has progressively gotten better and better. He's playing at a high level right now. And, I mean, they've won three in a row, and a lot of that has to do with his ability to keep them in games or come back and win games. Or he's just playing very good. And so is Reggie Wayne. I mean, Reggie Wayne's playing at the probably an elite status compared to other years. I just think he's playing out of this world.
Well, you know, and it's funny because a lot of folks thought that Reggie would leave in free agency because, you know, after last year, now they were in rebuilding. And they threw a contract at him and said, we want you to stay and work with our quarterback. So you see a correlation there. Reggie Wayne is helping this young quarterback play at a higher level.
Sure, an established wide receiver, which is really important for your team, that receiver position, but especially for a rookie quarterback to have a guy like him on your roster.
Always where he's supposed to be.
Always.
That's kind of the thing.
Yeah.
When you look at him.
And I'll say this, Reggie has, you know, their head coach, Chuck Pagano, has some health issues and is not able to be with the team. And Reggie has kind of led the charge of motivating this team, you know, in honor of Chuck. And I have a lot of respect for him with the way he's handled. He's a great leader. I think the team has rallied around him. And, you know, they're playing for a lot more than just the wins. So they're trying to do this for the head coach.
That's obviously an important part of a locker room's development, isn't it? Where a player can step forward and lead the charge.
No question. That's what in the when it's all said and done, that's what you want. They've got to be able to be the ones that
take it over.
Yes.
Did you have that in Atlanta?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we did. And there's guys in this locker room.
I was going to say, do you feel like you've got some of those
guys
here? Yes,
we have guys.
Okay. That can take control.
Yes, we do. And they're showing up every day, especially in this time where we're at right now.
You know, two of those guys would seem to be Maurice Jones-Drew and Daryl Smith, and neither one of them have been able to play lately
for you.
So are there other guys that can step into that role? And I'm not necessarily asking you to name names unless you want to, but, I mean, are you seeing some younger guys or some different guys grab the mantle?
No, I'm seeing a lot of the guys that didn't dress on Sunday, some of our starters, and I think they think that their word's not important because they're not playing. You know, they're injured, and their word is so important, regardless if they're playing in the game or as long as they're just saying it. And they're so well respected, the Greg Jones,
right,
of the world, who doesn't say much. So when he does say something, you better pay attention to it.
Right.
I'm talking about just the ultimate professional athlete. But those guys are so important to our team.
You know, sometimes when you say nothing, you speak louder. You know, just the silence of it all. And then you've got guys that like to rant and rave and bounce around like Ray Lewis did so effectively all those years.
Right.
But the ability to turn your locker room over and have a guy like a Reggie Wayne lead the charge.
Yes, that's
important. Been the difference for them this year,
That's very important, yes.
All right, we've got one more segment with head coach Mike Mularkey to come, and we'll focus more on the Jaguars and the Colts game, which is a Thursday night 8:20 kickoff. And, of course, we'll kick things off with the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue tailgate show at 5:20 for those of you in Jacksonville. And we'll grab the Jaguars pregame on the network at 7 o'clock, kickoff at 8:20, followed by the Winn-Dixie postgame show and the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Folks, this break and then more on Jaguars Radio. All right, one more reminder. Jeff Lagerman and Brent Martineau have Shad Khan on Jaguars All Access. That's at 7 o'clock on CBS 47. Jaguars and Colts Thursday night. We've talked about the difficulty of getting ready for Thursday and a Colts team that is playing well. Coach, what would one win do for some momentum for your locker room?
A lot.
I mean, one win would seem...
Yeah, no, it would, and we know that, and that's the frustrating part about it. We just got to it's like getting turnovers. When they come, you get one. They just seem to come in bunches, and we got to get a good taste in our mouth.
Right.
That's the problem. We just can't get this taste out, and our guys are working so hard. I think the fans need to know this team is really working hard. They are committed. They're preparing. You know, just like I told them practice like you're 8-0. That's the way we got to prepare, and they do. They go out in that practice field. They're trying to do their best, and they want one bad. They really want one bad. And they've prepared, they're committed, and they're staying united. And I think that's important for our fans to know that we need them, and we feel their frustration. We're with them. We feel the same frustration as they do. That's the coaches as well, that but we need their support, and we appreciate everything they've done for us.
Pride is such a big deal in this, and people, they think it's all about the money, and obviously it's professional football. It is about the money, but from a professional standpoint, to take pride in what you do, to be proud of what your record is, that's important to players and coaches.
Very. That was my message Saturday night, was about pride, about when we put that uniform on in that locker room, about, you know, be proud that you have that honor to put a Jaguar uniform on, and when you step on that field, when you walk through the tunnel to come out here, be very, you know, you ought to have a lot of pride about yourself that you're able to do this for this community and these fans, and then just have a lot of pride about yourself, how you represent yourself on this football team. And you know, and they do, you know, they're not trying to do some of the things that are happening to us.
Right.
You know, they're trying to do everything right, which has been preached from day one. And I know that there's a silver lining in all of this. I just wish I could tell you when we're going to see it. But I still feel that way, and I know the staff does. The staff is energetic, and going to give it all. And that's a promise that these players know that nothing's changed from the day we got here when we said it's really important for this staff that you guys are successful. That's all that matters to us, is that they have some success.
Well, and the even keel approach is so important in this league. And I think it's you're not out there thinking, I'm going to change this, I'm going to change that, I'm going to do everything different, are you?
No, I you got to be very careful of, and again, you can be influenced by a lot of things,
right,
that think that's the way to do it. You know, I've been in the business for a long time, and unfortunately, this is one of the tough years that we're going to learn from, and hopefully learn how to get better soon.
Let's talk about a win next Monday night.
That sounds great.
All right, Coach, have a great
night.
Thanks,
Brian.
And thanks for joining us on the Mike Mularkey Show, everybody. Talk to you Thursday with the pregame show here on the network beginning at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. Good night.